Welcome to the Soul Traveler Podcast, an exploration of conscious living with your host, Jennifer Mitchell of The Soul Experience. Join Jennifer as she explores the quantum realms of the subconscious mind and all aspects of spirituality. Driven by curiosity and a thirst for knowledge, topics will stretch the boundaries of your imagination and revive your mind, body, and soul.
Hello, Soul Travelers. Welcome back to another exciting episode. I have a very special guest on with us today. I'm speaking with Melissa Griffin, Mayan spiritualist, medium, author of Validation of a Healer, What You Want, You Should Believe, quote by Mayan Indian Spirit. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Where are you joining us from today? Can you share with listeners where you're calling from?
I live in a suburb of Austin, Texas.
And how long have you been living there for?
Oh, wow. Gosh, probably about almost 30 years. Seeing the city grow.
Yes, right. I live in Las Vegas and I've seen the city grow so much. I've been here for quite a while as well. I think I went to Austin once or twice. It's actually really nice there. They're known for like their food trucks, right? I would love if you could open up and share with listeners about who you are and a little bit about what you do.
My name's Melissa, and I'm a Mayan spiritualist. And one of the things that I do is I'm a medium, so I can cross spirits. And I've actually had spirits follow me. For instance, I had one situation where my husband and I went out to eat locally and through this restaurant that's surrounded by a ghost town. Oh. Was our first time being there. And so as he parked the car, I got off and I picked up, I heard a woman. Again, as a medium, people can't, if you're not a medium, you can't really hear the voices that come through. But as a medium, I can hear them. And I heard a woman trying to get my attention. So I kind of looked over. I didn't see anything. So we proceeded to move into the direction of the restaurant. And I started to tell the young woman who took our order, our experience, and she asked, where did you hear that voice? And I said, over here on the left side of your property. She said, yes. I said, and I could hear her breathing rather like in a panic, like she was out of breath. And she said, yes, she died in my arms. I know who you're talking about. And I said, oh. I said, don't tell me anything further. I'm going to see if I can try and pick up anything on the property. I didn't know anything about the property because she was telling me, go look at the plaque there on the side. And I prefer not to do that. I'd rather explore the property. I saw a lot of things, a lot of spiritual activity there. A little girl, it brought me, again, when you have this gift, you can go back in time. You can actually see what the property looked like even before everything was there. So it was an actual ranch that I could see, and I saw men working and stuff, and I saw a little girl in a swing. There was like a little play area, and I could hear her swinging back and forth, and I told her not to be afraid. And so when she acknowledged me, there was like this gust of wind. That's how I knew that she, you know, was trying to tell me that she was there. Spirits will do that to try and get your attention. Long story short, what ended up happening is we ate our meal and I asked the young woman who took our order if it was okay if I crossed that spirit. I told her I was a medium. She was, yes, please do. She panicked. She was running out of breath and she died in my arms. I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, her plaque is over there on the left side of the property. And I said, oh, okay. So my husband and I went to go try and look for the plaque. He ends up finding it and we were already getting ready to leave. He goes to the car. And she comes forward, starts talking to me and says, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm stuck. I said, well, I can help you if you'd like. And I told her who I was. And so she agreed to go ahead and leave. And what I do in my line of work is I call a great white light coming down from the heavens, accompanied by two angels. The light came through, the angels showed up, and she thanked me before she left. And that was that.
Wow. I'm just blown away by that story. And I got chills too when you're talking about how you can see into the past. That is just so amazing. When did these gifts first present themselves to you?
Well, one of the reasons why I wrote my book is because I became spiritually gifted from the age of five mm-hmm. into adulthood. Yeah. I had a lot of the experiences from premonitions of my father passing away even before he grew ill, they were came through as dreams. And I knew something was going on. And so fast forward, I wrote this book and I wanted to share this with my readers and take them on the journey of what I experienced. I worked with a famous psychic who did 30 years cold cases. And so she went ahead and interpreted all those experiences that I've had into the lessons I needed to learn from. So through the journey, I learned to kind of create a boundary when dealing with spirits, because they can come through and obviously they can cause havoc. And that's one of the most important things to learn from. And so I really enjoyed working with her, and I learned these gifts I've already had. They were just, it's sort of like the best way to describe it is like a tree. When you already have these gifts, you want to stem out and see what else you can learn from. Well, it turned out that I can also become a medical intuitive, which I could see people's areas of pain and things like that. I've actually done readings in public, whether at a restaurant or I'm shopping or whatever, and I'll approach it. I'm polite about it. And I've actually had people break down, because sometimes what happens, people don't understand. They don't express themselves to their loved ones, for example, and they seem to kind of be comfortable with somebody who understands them. Well, I not only understand them, I can pick up their feelings and their emotions.
And so what is that like for you? Do you pick up and carry emotions with you, or do you have something that you do to block yourself from taking on like those emotions and feelings of whether it be an entity or a person that you encounter?
It's about, again, going back to what I mentioned earlier, it's about creating boundaries and being very adamant of who you can allow in your home, for example. Everybody has boundaries in their homes. They close their door, right? It's the same thing, spiritually speaking. You allow them to come in if they need the help. And I've actually crossed a lot of spirits into the light. And so one of the things that I do is use holy herbs. Those are used in the Mayan spiritual side of things. And so it's called holy herb. And we use what is also called holy stick. And we also use basil. And what happens is how we do that is we dip the holy water in the basil. You tie the basil in a rubber band. And you're basically clearing the negative energies off of you. Or if, for example, if I do it to somebody else. And I work with my grandfather. He comes forward spiritually. Actually, he came through spiritually in another podcast that occurred, which surprised me. He's never done that. He did some healing. Yes.
I actually was going to ask you about that. That was my next question. So I know you work closely with your grandfather. When did he present himself to you? And did you know who he was when he first came through?
I did not. What happened was, is I was going through a health situation. And so I knew of our ancestors. You can actually call them forward. One of the most powerful things anybody can do is to call your ancestors to help you in the time of need. And he came forward. Mm-hmm. And so he did some healing work on me. And that from there on out, he's been around me, and I've asked him to stay on with me for the rest of my life as a protector of anybody who wants to spiritually harm me. So that's also important. They, not only him, but my ancestors also to conduct protection.
Yes. And so that's ultimately what led you to become a Mayan spiritual healer?
Yes. It actually started at the age of 5, I started to have a lot of dark dreams. And it's very unusual for a 5-year-old to go through some scary dreams like this. And little did I know, I was picking up the problems my parents were having at the time. I didn't understand it. They were just coming through the way they were.
How do Mayan practices differ from like modern day practices of healing? Or is there a big difference?
There's some similarities and then there's some differences, because like in my grandfather's case, he will sing Mayan. I didn't understand and I never knew this until I brought it to my mom's attention, because it's on the Mayan side. She's from the Mayan side. And she said, yes, when they do healings, they actually sing in Mayan. And I've never heard of that. I've had cleansings all my life, right, from different people, but not in that way.
that must have been very validating, though, too, as far as like validation, because here this is happening and you didn't even know about it. So do you channel Mayan if you are working or if you're performing like a healing with a client? Are you able to channel that?
Yes. Oh. And he's actually come through. I've actually had one visitor arrive at my home and she's never had a cleansing. So she didn't know what to expect. Well, she said she felt totally different because he came through. I did the healing through the holy stick and he came through and he brings in his own herbs and I can see him and I can hear him. So I've actually done some work on my husband as well.
Oh, wow.
He's also felt him come through and my husband's also an intuitive. So he's actually picked up his spirit and the energy that he penetrates or does through the healing, the cleansing side of it.
So when someone does come to you for a cleansing, tell listeners about that process. What is that like from start to finish?
I'll give you an example of a student that I was mentoring because I also mentor my gifted students. She came over. She's never really had one. What I did is I used holy stick. I started from the top of her head and I called my grandfather through. Mm-hmm. So he brought in his herbs. And so I go start from the top of the head, throughout the body, around the arms, above the arms, and down, all the way down to the legs. And the person pretty much spreads their arms and I circle the smoke. And I don't know if you ever have smelled that. It's not a bad scent, the holy stick. The best way to describe it, it's almost like when you walk into a church, you can smell the wood. That's what it smells like.
Is it similar to Palo Santo or?
Yes, okay. Yes, that's what it is. And so he will come through with his healing. He'll start working. The person has a negative energy on them or something to that effect. He comes through with a very powerful type of healing where he'll sing, he will use the special herbs on top of what I'm using. And I usually get feedback and I appreciate the feedback after I do a cleansing like that. The person feels totally cleansed and uplifted.
That's so amazing. I'm just like so intrigued. I love history, first off. And so, and I love anything Mayan. It's actually, I'm really intrigued by it. We go and we visit like a lot of the sites and I actually like to watch a lot of historical movies and stuff. So I think it's like really, like when I saw that you were a Mayan healer, I was like, that's really awesome. So
thank you.
And then to be able to connect too, you know, with your ancestors on that level. Yeah.
Yes. And the interesting part is when I did my cleansing on my husband about a week ago, I didn't tell him I was calling my powerful ancestors. I did something different on him. And what the interesting part is after I was done cleansing and they came, my powerful ancestors came through and so did my grandfather, he said, there was more than one person here. I could feel it. He said, there is a group of people. And I said, yes. And that's when I explained to him that I had called in my powerful ancestors. He was having problems with his back, his lower back. That was part of the reason that he asked for me to give him a cleansing. After a few days, he felt better.
Yeah. So that was actually one of my next questions. If somebody is experiencing like physical ailments as well, so they can feel a healing physically as well as emotionally, correct? Yeah.
Yes, that is very correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's amazing. So I would love to switch gears a bit and ask you about remote viewing. I saw that you do remote viewing.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I've never studied that, actually. Oh. My first experience, and it's mentioned in my book, is I was leaving out of town with my husband. We were going to Costa Rica. He had already been there. I hadn't. And so I was going to the spa. And so a couple of days before we were leaving, and let me kind of give you a little history. I had seen a girl. We were going to a spa, this same spa, and I saw this girl in the mask, and I could pick up she had some personal things going on, and I read her, even though she had her mask on. And this was like during like COVID, I believe, or somewhere around there. And so then I fast forward, we're going to our trip. I walk in. She ends up assisting me. And so I start telling her who I am. She goes, well, what is a medium? I explained to her what mediums do. And she goes, oh, well, maybe you can help me because my cousin was murdered. And I said, wait, don't tell me anything. Let me see if I can pick up anything.
Oh.
So I literally leave the room, spiritually, I don't know what the best way to describe it. I go to where her cousin was and I could see a lake. I could hear these really loud crickets, like it was summertime. The grass was kind of tall. And so I come back and I tell her, okay, this is what I saw. And she's in disbelief because her cousin was murdered near a lake. So she started crying and bawling. And I told her, is there anything that you want me to relay or anything that you want me to reach out to her about? I just want to know what her last words were before she died. And I said, okay, let me go back. And I went back to the scene again. And I said, I saw a young male there. And she ends up telling him, you're never going to get away with this. And that's when she unfortunately murdered her. Came back. She ends up confirming that how she died. And it was very gruesome. And so what I told her is I gave her my business card and I told her such sympathy because I could see she was in pain. I can just imagine her mom, her cousin's mom. And so I said, if you ever want to reach out to me, just reach out to me. I could possibly reach out to your cousin. And if there's anything that you need to relay, I can relate back to her. And that's how I had my first experience as remote viewing.
Wow. So describe, I know you said it was a little hard to describe. So did you realize in that moment that that's what you were doing?
Yes. And what the interesting part, I've never had anybody give me feedback on what happens when I do the remote viewing. She said that my eyes rolled up and she could see the white part of it.
Oh.
That, yes. Wow. I've never had anybody tell me that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And she said that she saw my eyes roll back. She could always see the white part. And that's how she knew that I had left. Yeah, I've never practiced that. It's within the Mayan family. And the psychic that helped me interpret these lessons also told me that I come from a reincarnation of the Mayan Indian side. That's how I have all these gifts.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you think that these gifts, that specific gift came forward because maybe it was brought to you through your ancestry or through your ancestor guides?
Yes. It is believed, according to the psychic, the famous psychic that helped me with my lessons, that I'm reincarnated. I am my great-grandmother's, which is likely my grandfather's, great-grandfather's mother. And so they worked together in their lifetime with these gifts, and I inherited them. So I use them only for good.
Is there any tips that you have for anyone who wants to maybe like incorporate like Mayan principles into like improved well-being or modern day?
What I did, and I didn't realize I was doing this, you can collect. It's almost like you could do a healing on your body. Mm-hmm. As a child, I didn't know I was doing this. I would hug trees.
Yeah.
One of the most important things, it's almost like the best way to describe it, like a cleansing. Mm-hmm. You cleanse your body because the trees and the ground, you're picking up the energy from there. Meditation is also very good because a lot of times if people want to grow in this line of work, meditation will help them. And creating boundaries when dealing with spirits, because I just had a student reach out to me. She didn't know how to deal with some of the spirits that she was encountering. So it's very important. You have to have a very strong personality because in this line of work, anytime you let your guard down, they can come through. And it's actually happened in my house.
How would somebody know that? Like if their guard has been maybe unconsciously let down and that there's like an entity in their home, are there like signs or?
Yes, they can get goosebumps. Mm. That's a given.
Yeah.
They can have the energy, dark energy can attach itself to the person and cause them to fall under a depression. That's also mentioned in my book. Mm. They can fall under depression. They feel out of control with a lot of things. And that's just the dark entity growing because they live off the living, off of a person's energy.
Oh, that's scary.
Yes, it is. It is.
I just pictured a demon like that we can't see feasting on us.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. But the most important, I am religious. And so in the Mayans, believe a lot in God. Mm-hmm. And like I said, work very close to the good only. And so if something like that was to happen, you can't prepare yourself. But you also have to learn to create boundaries and be strong about it. That's the key part. And I use herbs that I use. I use rue, for example. Rue, R-U-E.
Okay.
That's an herb that is used for clearing energies. You can also burn it. You can burn it with the sage. On occasion, I'll sage my house. I'll throw salt in the outside of my house in every corner, starting from clockwise all the way outside. That cleanses the vibration of your home.
Oh. Any specific type of salt or just any salt?
It could be any salt. Mm-hmm. It could be regular salt or Himalayan salt. Mm-hmm. That creates a cleaning mechanism. You can also use it in the bath.
I use it in the bath for sure.
Oh.
Yes, especially after I have sessions with my clients because we process a lot of energy, Melissa, stuck energy in the body and things like that. And I actually didn't realize, even in a virtual, how powerful the energy is. And there was a few times when clients maybe were going through something like really heavy or revisiting a past situation or scenario, and I would get a shooting pain through my ear almost instantly. And then right away, I felt sick in my throat. And so I started to realize, I think this is not coming from me because it would happen so instantly during the sessions. And so I do like it. First, I protect myself more thoroughly before doing the session. And then I do an Epsom salt bath after, with some essential oil in the bath just to kind of cleanse and release any of that energy.
Yes, that's very important because I actually met a girl who did massages and she picked up the energy. Mm-hmm. So she was literally hugging all the trees in the back of the spa and a lot of them died because she was releasing that. Yeah, wow. She was telling me that. And I said, you know, I didn't realize that because I was explaining to her, you have to release that. Mm-hmm. You have to release that energy. You can't retain it. If you do, you can obviously grow sick. So,
what do you have to say to skeptics out there?
Until you have gone through what I've gone through, you'll understand. Mm-hmm. I once had a very famous person interview me mm-hmm. on a show, and he asked me the same question. And I said, no one can ever prepare you or your family if they ever come across a dark entity. And that is where my book would guide them. Mm-hmm. It would provide a guidance for them. And that's what my response was. Until you've gone through it, you'll understand. But in the meantime, if you don't, then you won't understand.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what is one of the key yes. messages of your book or the big takeaway for listeners?
The big takeaway is for those in your audience who have gone through some very dark stuff, the book will guide you. Mm-hmm. In what you need to, what I learned, and also allow them to feel that they're not alone in what they are going through. I have actually gone through a lot from the age of 5, and you can just imagine.
Yeah.
I don't wish that on any child. And so the outcome of it is positive in this instance because I have gone through this journey and now I know where I'm supposed to be.
And do you believe that the things that you endured and went through as a child is the reason why you have these gifts of mediumship?
Yes. And it prepared me, believe it or not, as being a 5-year-old, being faced with darkness, dark spirits, actually prepared me to be strong in this line of work.
I find that too, that the things that we go through, no matter how tragic they are, it makes us stronger, and there's a reason, that's the reason why we go through them, and to learn the lessons so that we could help others.
Yes, and that is my position at this point. And I received a lot of encouragement from that famous psychic. She said, you really need to learn, share this with the world. It's important. People are going to relate to those experiences that you've had.
What are you working on next, Melissa? You have a project or something that you're upcoming?
I am trying to get to a point where I would love to travel and educate people. There's a lot of people out there who are going through something spiritual and they don't quite understand it. I would like to educate them and start traveling. And as a matter of fact, I'm sort of seeking out some help, some assistance in going through the process of traveling and having an assistant with me in helping out with what I'm presenting. Mm-hmm. I've been slowly gathering some information. I also, the other project that I'm fixing to be working on is my great-grandfather's legacy. It's like a second edition of the book that I just wrote, Validation of a Healer. And this, the second one, the series is going to cover my grandfather's journey.
Wow. And if listeners want to work with you or train with you, since you do mentor, where can they find you online?
That would be www.mayanspirit.org. Yeah. They can just reach out to me.
I went on your website. It was beautiful. So much helpful information on there.
Thank you. Has a beautiful, I love the trailer. There's a story behind that, actually, if you have time in your segment here. I was going through a very difficult time in my life at the time, and I went out of town to visit my mom. She lived in South Texas. Mm-hmm. So we headed towards the coast, and so we were sitting in the shoreline. I was looking at a distance. I saw three rays of light, and I thought, oh, that looks so beautiful. And so my mom and I were very quiet, and all of a sudden, I had those three rays of light merge into one and only hit me.
Oh.
And I heard a woman's voice come through, and she had a message for me. Mm-hmm. So I heard the message, I acknowledged her, and my mom and I were ready to leave. Got in the car, and she asked me, what happened back there? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, I saw those three rays of light merge into one and only hit you. I was sitting right next to you. So that's when I told her the message that was given by, I believe, an angel. Mm-hmm. And exactly after that happened, the three lights went back to the distance where I saw them, and they disappeared.
That's so profound.
It is profound. That's when my mom started realizing, there's something here mm-hmm. with you. Something gifted, something good.
Yeah. I only wish something like that would happen to me.
Yeah, that's why that book trailer is profound, because it says it all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait to read it. And I'll make sure to link the book in the comments for listeners so that they can purchase the book as well, with all of your contact information, your Facebook group, and your website. Listeners can find you there. Melissa, do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners today?
It was truly a pleasure to have come on your show. It's one of the most utmost blessings, because yesterday was a day of thanks for myself and my family. And I just want to relay that to you and your audience.
Thank you. It's been lovely chatting. I could really talk
you.
With you all day long, but I didn't.
I would too. I enjoy talking about this as well. I would love to hear more about your quantum healing sometime. So
absolutely. And you're welcome back on the show anytime. It is time to wrap
this episode up.
So to our listeners out there, I hope that you enjoyed the conversation as much as we did. Thank you for tuning
in. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
This podcast is brought to you by The Soul Experience, Quantum Healing Hypnosis. Are you ready to embark on an inward journey of quantum healing? Quantum Healing Hypnosis is the most profound method of inner work and self-healing someone can do while on a spiritual path. In a single session, you experience past life regression, exploration between lifetimes, self-healing performed by your subconscious, release of trapped trauma, and answers to your most important life questions. Your higher self has a message for you and is here to help you and guide you on this life journey. Book a session today with Jennifer Mitchell at thesoulexperiences.com.